And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, what's up, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast for Tuesday, November 30th. Michael Beller here, taking you through this episode of the Fantasy Football Pod as we put week 12 behind us and get into week 13, the second to last week of your typical fantasy football season. As we do every Tuesday, we've got a trio of beat writers joining us to give us some on-the-ground knowledge about their teams as we head into this penultimate week of the fantasy football regular season. We're going to kick things off with one of the hottest teams in the NFL, the New England Patriots. To talk Patriots, we bring on our Pats beat writer, Matthew Fairburn. Matthew, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
This team, man, this team got very hot, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, and they really haven't looked back. A huge Week 13 matchup with the Bills. But before we get to that, let's just start with this team. What's been the spark or sparks for the surge that we've seen for the Patriots over these last 5-6 weeks?
Yeah, really since that overtime loss to the Cowboys, they started to turn things around. 6-game winning streak. They've had the best defense in football during that stretch, and that's probably the first place that you point to figure out where these wins are coming from. They were negative in point differential through the first 6 weeks of the season, or through in turnover differential through the first 6 weeks of the season. They're now plus 10. They're tops in the league in point differential. They're blowing teams out, and a lot of it has to do with how dominant their defense has been. They've played a little bit more zone coverage. They've gotten, you know, good pass rush from, you know, not a lot of extra rushers. Matt Judon already has a career high in sacks. J.C. Jackson leads the AFC in interceptions. This defense is where you start when you talk about the turnaround, but they've been steady on offense as well. They can run the ball with Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. Mac Jones is avoiding mistakes for the most part and, you know, leading an efficient passing attack, not an overpowering one, but one that's efficient enough. And the formula has gotten them a lot of wins. They're not overpowering in any one particular area, but they've got the best game planner in football, and they find different ways to win each week.
Yeah, it's been really impressive to watch this team become what they are now over these last 6 weeks. And Mac Jones, from a fantasy perspective, is maybe not right at the center. You mentioned Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, and those guys are much more fantasy relevant than Mac Jones, but definitely right there alongside those guys. Since you and I last talked, the Patriots have played 6 games, and in those 6 games, Mac Jones has 9 touchdowns against 2 interceptions. He's thrown for better than 8 yards per attempt, and individually, he's at 8.5 yards per attempt or better in 3 of the 6. You bump it down to 8 and you get to 4 of the 6. Any difference in his play that you've seen over these 6 weeks versus the first 6 weeks of the season?
It hasn't been a dramatic change for Mac Jones. I think it's been a lot of, you know, building on what, you know, they've done well during the season, figuring out what they do well as an offense and incorporating more of that. You saw a lot of play action last week from them, and it seems like they're trusting him a bit more as the season goes on. Early in the year, there were moments where you wondered how much they trusted him. And I think more of the offense is available to him at this point. You're seeing some of his pass catchers step up. Kendrick Bourne is looking like a playmaker for them in the passing game. Jacoby Myers has been rock solid all year. Hunter Henry's been a good red zone threat. So he's just getting a little bit more comfortable. Not only is he a rookie, but a lot of this offense was new. And I think probably more than anything else, the way they've protected him during this 6-game winning streak is the biggest deal. They're undefeated when Mac Jones is pressured on fewer than 30% of his dropbacks, and they've lost every game on which he's been pressured more than that. So that tells you everything you need to know about why Mac Jones is playing better and why he's been a bit more comfortable.
Yeah, let's stick on those pass catchers for a second here. Over these last six games, over this six-game winning streak, what's been most impressive from an outsider's point of view is the margins of victory. 54-13, 24-6, 45-7, 25-0, 36-13, just absolutely blowing teams out. Who cares if they're not the best teams in the NFL necessarily? You beat teams like that consistently. Clearly, you are doing a lot of things very, very right. From a fantasy perspective, however, we haven't necessarily seen any consistency from a pass catcher to the extent that you're saying, oh yeah, for sure, player X, Jacoby Myers, he's going in my starting lineup, absolutely no doubt about it. As there's been a little bit more production from the passing game as a whole, can anyone step up and be that sort of player for this team?
Yeah, it's an odd fantasy team, isn't it? Right? Yeah. I mean, the two best players to have for fantasy purposes are the New England defense and Nick Folk, because the red zone offense has struggled to finish when they get down near the goal line. I think Kendrick Bourne is starting to become that high upside type of play. I don't know that his role is consistent enough, but it's becoming more consistent as the season's gone on. And he's a playmaker, as you know, people saw last week when he took that 41-yard touchdown, took a quick pass and created something out of nothing after the catch. Jacoby Myers is a reliable PPR guy, you know, high floor, but definitely a low ceiling. He actually just had his first touchdown catch of his career a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So it took him a while to find the end zone. Really, even the tight ends, it's been a bit of a guessing game. Jonnu Smith has not, you know, carved out a big role in the passing game. He's getting a little bit more involved. Hunter Henry is probably the most reliable fantasy option. He's, you know, the guy that Mac Jones looks for down near the goal line. Should have had a touchdown last week. Mac Jones missed him on a wide open throw. That doesn't show up in the stat sheet. But if there was one guy that I'd want in my fantasy lineup each week, besides the defense and the kicker, it's Hunter Henry. And beyond that, I think Kendrick Bourne is probably your dart throw, a good guy worth rostering. Because he does have the explosiveness to make plays after the catch and turn some of these short Mac Jones throws into big gains.
The backfield has become pretty interesting over these last few weeks, too. Damian Harris was someone who everyone was feeling pretty good about coming into the season, and he's basically delivered on what his expectations were in the fantasy world. Not above, certainly not below the expectations for him. But we've now seen Ramondre Stevenson get more and more involved really over these last four games, and it's something that certainly has worked for the Patriots, having both guys healthy and just trading back possession, one for Damian, one for Ramondre. Should we expect that breakdown to remain the same for this team going forward?
I think so. This is looking like a classic Bill Belichick backfield where, you know, fantasy managers are having a tough time figuring out which guy to play on a given week. You know, both of them have relevance each week because they're going to be involved. I think Ramondre Stevenson has actually emerged in my eyes as the more, well-rounded, explosive running back in this backfield. He's got a better role in the passing game, and he's creating something out of nothing a little more often than Damian Harris is. But Harris is the consistent guy that they love going to, and, you know, he's getting touches down near the goal line as well. So both of them are going to have their week. Sometimes they'll split how useful they are. Like last week, each had about 40 yards. Harris got the touchdown. It's going to be a hard backfield to predict week in and week out. The most promising weeks are when one guy is sitting out with an injury, because then you know who's getting the carries. But it's hard to figure out, because like Belichick has done so many times over the course of his career, he's happy to spread the carries out, and he's even happy to get Brandon Bolden involved, because Bolden is the most consistent in pass protection, and he's the one who, you know, had four catches for 50 yards last week. So he's got a role in the screen game. He's a reliable veteran who's sort of filled James White's shoes since he went down with a season-ending injury. So as if the backfield wasn't frustrating enough for fantasy football players, you throw Brandon Bolden into the mix, and it really muddies the waters even more. So they love what they have in the backfield. Their running game's great. The offensive line has turned it around. It's just hard to figure out which one is going to be the most productive on a given week.
Yeah, definitely a really productive backfield in the real world, one that can be a little bit of a headache for us in the fantasy world. As I said right off the top here, huge game, probably the biggest game in Week 13. Patriots and Bills getting together. Winner is in first place in the AFC East. Winner is right on the heels of the Ravens at the top of the AFC conference. So what are your early expectations for this matchup?
I feel like this is going to be a slugfest of a game. It's going to be ugly at times for both offenses. You're talking about two of the best defenses in football. That game against the Colts notwithstanding, the Bills have played good defense for the better part of the year. We'll see if these rushing defenses can get things figured out. Both of them have had the Patriots allowed 270 to the Titans on the ground last week. The Bills recently allowed 5 touchdowns to Jonathan Taylor, but overall they're both playing really good defense. I think you can expect takeaways to probably factor in here. I think the way Josh Allen has turned the ball over isn't going to fly against this Patriots defense, but I also expect that the way Sean McDermott has schemed against inexperienced quarterbacks in the past and the way they disguise coverage on the back end is going to make life really hard for Mac Jones. So this is going to be a game where I expect New England to follow the formula of running the ball and trying to play tough defense, get a few turnovers, win the special teams battle, and come out with an ugly win. And they've been doing that for the better part of a month and a half here. So this is the toughest test they've had during this stretch, but they keep rising to the challenge. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. It might be a disappointing game from a fantasy perspective for people because both of these defenses are nasty, and I think it's going to be tough to tell where the production and the touchdowns are going to come from.
Yeah, huge game in the real world, of course, and one that definitely could be a little bit frustrating in the fantasy world, although that's not going to steer us away from any of these guys on the Patriots we've just talked about, certainly not going to steer us away from Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs as well. That's Matthew Fairburn, New England Patriots beat writer here at The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Matthew Fairburn. Matthew, thanks again for being with us on the Fantasy Football Pod.
Thanks so much for having me. Good luck this weekend.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, we move along on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast to the Dallas Cowboys and our Cowboys beat writer, John Machota. John, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing well, and there is a lot to talk about with this Dallas Cowboys team, of course, playing on Thursday night against the New Orleans Saints. So let's jump right in here first. What can you tell us about Ezekiel Elliott and what his status is for Thursday and what that means for both him and Tony Pollard?
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott actually was somewhat surprisingly a full participant in practice on Monday. I wasn't really expecting that. I thought that they were kind of lighten the workload a little bit, but they did not. He was a full go in there. And then we also talked to him on Monday, and he seemed to be in good spirits, thinking that he's ready to go. And had said that nobody in the organization had talked to him about potentially sitting a game out to rest his injured knee or anything like that, even though he clearly has looked like he hasn't been 100%. He's been dealing with it's kind of a knee bruise, knee contusion, whatever you want to call it, that it's basically playing through pain that he says that he can manage. And so probably the most interesting thing on that front was that not only did Jerry Jones say this morning on the local radio here, 105 through the Fan, on his weekly radio show, that he expects Ezekiel Elliott to play, but he said, quote, he expects him to have a serious load. And that surprised me a little bit, because after their loss on Thanksgiving, there was a group of us that were talking to Jerry after the game, and Jerry said that the plan going into that game was to get Tony Pollard 25 touches, and it didn't get to that because of the way the game went. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, well, then that's going to be the plan probably for the next couple of weeks until Zeke starts feeling better. But no, Jerry said, quote unquote, a serious load. So for the Tony Pollard side, I don't know if necessarily he should be in your lineups now. I was thinking about 24 hours ago that Tony Pollard might be the play for this game. But then after hearing Zeke talk this week and then what Jerry had to say, it seems like they're trying to go in this game with a regular workload for Ezekiel Elliott. It makes me wonder if that's because they're without Mike McCarthy at head coach. There's other, you know, they're missing right tackle Terrence Steele because of COVID. There's other issues on the coaching staff. They're not going to have their assistant offensive line coach. They're not going to have their regular offensive line coach. So maybe they're just trying to stick with, you know, the things that they know best and not having to make a lot of adjustments. And obviously the things they know best is Ezekiel Elliott. So I expect him to have a regular workload.
Yeah, it's sort of a nightmare situation for both Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard managers, because maybe we think we know what the deal is, but we're probably going to be flying, not totally blind, but at least somewhat going into this game against the Saints. You mentioned the COVID issues that this team is going through right now. No Mike McCarthy. Would you expect any changes to what they do going into this game? I mean, like a dumbing down of the playbook, sort of like you're hinting at here. Is that something that's in the cards, or should we basically expect business as usual for this team, even though they won't have all those coaches on the sideline?
Well, for the offensive side, I think to try and keep as much continuity as possible, that's why Dan Quinn is being elevated to head coach for this game, not Kellen Moore. They are trying to keep that continuity on the offense together as much as possible, especially because you're going into a game where your tight end coach, Lunda Wells, who has some experience as an assistant offensive line coach, he's now your offensive line coach for this game. He's been the offensive line coach this week at practice. And so I think that they were trying to keep the rest of that as similar as they possibly could. So fortunately for the Cowboys and for fantasy owners, though, the players on the field are going to be a veteran bunch, whether it's Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, Ezekiel Elliott, and then on the offensive line, it looks like you're going to have Lyle Collins back at right tackle, Tyron Smith at left, Zach Martin's healthy, you know. So you have players that, I guess for a lack of better way of describing it, have been there and done that. So when you go into a loud environment like New Orleans, like the Superdome, they should be able to handle it. That's not to say there's not going to be some hiccups and some issues, but with the way the Saints have been playing, I still think that this offense should be able to put up points against them regardless of where they're playing.
Yeah, it's not a bad matchup, regardless of who's out there. CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, are those two guys going to be out there on Thursday?
So Jerry's super optimistic about Amari, and it sounds like Jerry is the only one that's super optimistic about Amari. Amari hasn't practiced this week yet. Okay, so he missed the last two games as he tested positive for COVID, and he still is not up to 100%. Like, he's not practicing, he's not running with the team. Mike McCarthy said this morning that he still has a cough. You know, he's not feeling like himself. And McCarthy said if he doesn't practice today or tomorrow, he doesn't see him playing in the game without practicing at all. Mm-hmm. And so that right there makes me think it's unlikely he does play. And even if he does, I think he'll be extremely limited. CeeDee Lamb, on the other hand, there was a chance CeeDee could have played in the last game, but he didn't get cleared on the final step of the concussion protocol. But in talking to him yesterday, he's good to go. He's been a full participant in practice. I expect a regular CeeDee Lamb to be out there Thursday night, which is obviously a big help, because not having CeeDee, not having Amari against the Raiders, it was just evident that things just weren't clicking on this offense. And so now, even if you don't get Amari back, just having CeeDee with Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, and Dalton Schultz, it seems like you're going to have a better passing game there. So yes for CeeDee. I'm real hesitant on Amari right now.
You know, it's interesting that you could say that it felt like things weren't clicking for the offense without CeeDee Lamb and without Amari Cooper. And it felt that way just as a viewer too. But then you look up and yeah, they lost, but they put up 33 points Michael Gallup and Cedric Wilson both went over 100 yards. Dalton Schultz found the end zone a couple of times. It feels like this team has a reliability in its passing game that is something that they can still lean on regardless of who's out there for them.
No, that's a good point, Michael, because I'll tell you, that game, it was stagnant. The offense was stagnant early on, and then it got away from them, so that's when they went no huddle. And when they went no huddle, things started to click, and that's when they started to move the ball. And so you sit there, me as a stupid football fan, is just kind of like, why don't you guys just go no huddle the whole entire game? Now, they can't do that because, you know, you have some three and outs, and your defense is going to be on the field the entire time. There has to be somewhat of a balance. But even without Amari and without CD, they showed, like, when they want to go no huddle and things are clicking, obviously Dak Prescott is very comfortable in that setting. And we could be looking at the same thing Thursday night. It could be where they come out stagnant. They look a little like, hey, the running game's not clicking. Well, it's going to get to a point where Kellen Moore is like, all right, well, we got to score points. And so, to your point, it might be ugly in the first quarter and maybe even the second and maybe even the third. And then in the fourth quarter, they go off and they look like the offense that, you know, for most of this season has looked like one of, if not the best offenses in the NFL. So I do, to your point, I do agree, though, that, I mean, if you have Dak Prescott out there with these guys, even getting just CeeDee Lamb back, they're going to have a chance to put up big numbers. I could still see them scoring 30, 35 points in this game, even if things do start out a little rocky.
And so what are your expectations for this game? It's an important game, obviously. Get back on track after the loss against the Raiders. And, you know, maybe the one seed in the NFC is looking like a lesser of a possibility than it was a couple of weeks ago. But you still want to win this division. You still want to avoid the four seed. That is obviously shaping up to be the toughest of the first round playoff matchups. So big game for the Cowboys. What are your expectations for it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if they were playing at AT&T Stadium, I think the Cowboys win by two touchdowns. But because it's in New Orleans, that place is just, it's going to be rocking Thursday night, regardless of how they've played recently. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton would love nothing more than to beat the Cowboys. Just the connection between him and the team. There was a while here in Dallas where I felt like every offseason it was, is Jerry going to go get Sean Payton? Is Jerry going to go get Sean Payton finally? And that obviously never materialized, but Sean's going to have some tricks up his sleeve with Taysom Hill out there and things like that. And I do think that early on, I think there's going to be some communication issues on the offensive line. I just, not having their offensive line coach, their assistant offensive line coach, those are going to be guys you lean on to make in-game adjustments, things like that. I think it's going to be a little rocky up front, and not necessarily in terms of, you know, them getting Dak pressured all the time, but the false starts, the holdings, the things we've seen too much this year. I think because of that, they might get out off to a slow start. But like we were just talking about, I just think that they can put up points against just about anybody. And Dak's been a little rusty here recently coming back from that calf injury, but he has been, I think, getting more and more closer to what he normally is. So I anticipate them putting up points. I think on our podcast the other day, I had this score at something like Cowboys win like 27-24 in that area. I just don't see the Saints completely shutting them down, even though I do think they hang in the game and they make it a game well into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, definitely one of the most bankable offenses really all season long. You take that Broncos game out, Dak's first game back, and they've basically been there meeting or exceeding expectations week in and week out, which is something we love to see in the fantasy world. That is John Machota, Dallas Cowboys beat writer at The Athletic. Check him out on Twitter at John Machota. And as the podcast you just mentioned, Cowboys fans, if you aren't already listening, About Them Cowboys, our Cowboys podcast at The Athletic. John, thanks again for being with us on the Fantasy Football Pod.
Anytime, Michael. Always a good time.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, we wrap up this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast by opening up the mailbag with Brandon Funston. Funston, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, just another day in the life of a fantasy football analyst. Here we are, week 13. We're getting into it. Holiday season, so if you're not doing well in fantasy, you got other distractions, which is always kind of nice.
Love this time of year. Football season coming to a head in the real world. Fantasy football season, if you're doing well, this is the most exciting time of the year. And then, yeah, the holiday cheer around us, whether you're doing well or not so much in the fantasy world. So definitely a fun time of year and a good time of year to be answering some questions. So let's get to that, Funston. First question for us, right up your alley. This comes to us from Hunter Smith on Twitter. Hunter wants to know, is DK's ceiling as high as it was before Russ's injury? I would say safely no. The more important question, is he benchable with the way the Seahawks offense has been playing?
You know, I think it's a first world problem if you bench him. That means you have some pretty good players. But, yeah, I mean, he's clearly feeling the effects of the Russell Wilson rust and the finger injury and maybe a loss of mojo. I don't know. Russell Wilson looks all kinds of wrong right now in a lot of different ways, and the way he's throwing and the way he's looking out there. It looks like he's got a little crisis of confidence, but I'm probably going to be ranking DK Metcalf at the back end of the wide receiver two class this week. I haven't started playing around with that, but I can imagine for the first time this year, I'm into the mid 20s with him instead of, you know, I had been kind of creeping him down into the teens. I will drop him a classification in the wide receiver rankings this week. So certainly there'll be people out there that are rocking three receivers that'll be higher than DK Metcalf on my rankings. I just don't think there'll be a lot of teams in that position.
Yeah, this would be, I mean, I understand the frustration with DK Metcalf, but realistically, the way that teams were built at the start of the season, and even if you've made moves during the season, it's going to be a hard thing to do to find a team that has three receivers better than DK Metcalf. I guess the walkaway message here is don't reach down to, you know, a full tier or tier and a half below DK's talent level just because you're concerned with the way Seattle's offense has looked over the last few weeks. Totally understand the concern, and if you do have three top 20 receivers, then go for it. But you're not starting, you know, wide receiver 40 over DK Metcalf just because of how bad Seattle's offense has looked. That would be a little bit of an overreaction, even though your frustration, Hunter, is certainly understandable. Next question for us comes from Pat F. on the email line. Again, that's tafantasysports@gmail.com if you want to be involved in this episode next week. Pat says, my league is allowed to trade through the end of the regular season. Should I be treating Alexander Mattison as an RB1 in trade discussions?
Well, here's the deal. First of all, this week ahead is going to be Alexander Mattison, and he gets the Detroit Lions. And he was the guy against the Detroit Lions earlier this year, week 5. He was the guy against the Detroit Lions week 17 last year. His finishes in fantasy and half PPR were 9-4 at the running back position. So we have a very recent history of what he's likely to do this week against the Lions. And if Dalvin Cook misses more games, which is entirely possible, it's almost plug and play. Dalvin Cook, don't get me wrong, is a more talented guy. It's a run heavy offense, and there's oftentimes, and I know you probably agree with this, Beller, that when Alexander Madison's out there, if you're not really looking at the number, you can easily mistake Alexander Madison's look, his running style. A lot about him looks Dalvin Cook-esque. So the worry that Dalvin Cook comes back at some point soon, you know, and returns a little bit sooner than maybe we think, is probably not enough to make me treat him as a full RB1. But I might, just because the short term looks so bright, treat him as a, you know, a top 15 to top 18 running back going forward.
Yeah, and, you know, Pat references the trade deadline. So just, you know, if this is something where you're thinking about making a trade with Alexander Mattison, Pat, I would say that, yeah, I think that a lot of people could be in this position, right, Funston, where you've just had Alexander Mattison buried on the end of your bench, and it's been a tough year for the running back position, but there are certainly people, I'm sure, who are sitting on, like, I don't know, Austin Eckler, Jonathan Taylor at the 1-2 turn, and then have just had Mattison stashed away, and so maybe they feel like, I can really make a strike here if I trade Mattison. I would have to be in a position like that, even if I think this is a 1 or 2 week thing. We don't know that for sure. And it's been such a brutal position that I would have to be getting some, like a true Godfather offer, a true too good to be true, too good to pass up, too good to say no, an offer I can't refuse if I'm going to trade away a player like Alexander Mattison, even if I feel like, wow, I was already doing well at the running back position, and now I'm just totally flush at the position with Mattison taking on the Dalvin Cook role in Minnesota's offense.
One thing I'd just add to that is if you are dealing Alexander Mattison, you have to understand what you're doing in terms of the ramifications of the league. You're dealing somebody a smash play this week who has the potential to be an RB1 if Dalvin Cook doesn't come back. Do you want to go against that in your league? Are you setting somebody up to really give you a run for your money down the stretch? And you just got to be careful about how you play that.
Definitely something to think about as well. Let's get to this question from Corey. Corey's got a waiver question for us. He says both Titans backs, assuming that means Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman, are available in my league. Which one would you rather have going forward?
Well, I mean, the Titans are just begging for any kind of life on offense. And Dontrell Hilliard's been, I just said Dalton Hilliard, that's a throwback, has been giving the Titans a little bit of a heartbeat. And he's done it in multiple, first of all, he's had more snaps the last 2 weeks than Deonta Foreman. Second of all, he's put up big numbers two different ways. You know, the week before it was 8 catches in the passing game. This last week it was big plays in the running game. So, you know, you like the idea that he's sort of game script agnostic, that he's going to mix in the running game with Deonta Foreman. Even if Foreman's going to lead in carries, we know that Hilliard's going to lead in passing downs and be, you know. So I think I'm going Hilliard here. I think they're both worthy of casting a line for if you can wait a week on them and put them on your bench. But if I just am choosing one, I'm going Hilliard.
I am with you for all the reasons you said, so we can just move right on to our next question. This one comes from Jack L. in the email inbox, tafantasysports@gmail.com. Jack's looking for a defense to stream in week 13. Who's at the top of your list, Funston?
How about Miami? Miami is awesome right now. I mean, I was just looking at their number, 16 sacks in the last 4 games, 7 interceptions, 3 fumble recoveries, 2 touchdowns. You get the New York Giants, who cannot score points. They got Daniel Jones, always a potential turnover waiting to happen. So I love Miami this week. I think Minnesota, a solid play against the Detroit Lions, obviously, as well.
Miami's at the top of my list, too. 44% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Absolutely love what they can do. I think that's really the team you got to chase. Minnesota at Detroit, just 20% rostered also in fantasy leagues on Yahoo. So those are two that would be right at the top of my list also. Beyond those two, there's no obvious screaming team that is clearly available in most leagues. So there's a chance that if I wasn't able to get one of those two, I would just stick with what I've already got. Obviously, it depends on what you've already got, yada, yada, yada. But those are the two that I think warrant a ton of attention as defenses you would want to grab for week 13. And we've got another defense question to wrap things up, but this one is a little bit farther reaching and a little bit looking into the playoffs here. This one comes to us from Steve S. Steve is 8-4 and in first place in my league, safely headed to the playoffs. Any defenses with multiple good playoff matchups I can target on the wire this week?
I hate to be a broken record, but Miami kind of sets itself up well. They'll be the Giants this week. Then they have a bye, which means they're probably going to be mass dropped. And then, so if you position yourself to pick up Miami coming out of their week 14 bye, you get the Jets, you get the Saints with Taysom Hill. I mean, we'll see. That's not a terrible matchup. I mean, the Saints offense doesn't scare me at this point. And then I think it's Tennessee after that, which is another offense that does not scare us anymore at this point. So I like that stretch in the way Miami's been playing and the fact that they're probably going to be more available than they are right now coming out of week 14.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the one that's at the top of my list, too. It's such a good stretch of matchups. And as you said, like almost certainly going to be mass drops. You maybe don't even need them this week. You can probably target them a week after this, but you could also just go grab them this week. And if you are a playoff bound person, I mean, these are the things that you should be thinking about right now. If you are comfortably going to the playoffs, that is definitely something that you should be considering. Who you can go grab, who you can have, who you can stash away and have ready for those playoff weeks. They're really like the obvious one, Funston, among the teams that are roundly available. There's really no one else that jumps out as having these multiple week great matchups. There, of course, is a team here and a team there that has a good matchup one of the playoff weeks, but Miami is the only one. If you look at teams that are available in at least 50% of fantasy leagues, Miami, truly the only one that has multiple good playoff matchups. So right now is the time to go grab the Dolphins. And if you do stream them this week and you are a team that is headed to the playoffs, I would say that you maybe want to hold them through their bye. Obviously, yeah, it's not going to be possible for everyone, but this is what you do at this time of year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maximize every advantage you can, you know, ahead of time. And if you don't get Miami, then you just got to play the week-to-week stream. Yeah. I mean, as you said, and that's what a lot of people do anyways. It's nice if you have the luxury to pick up a defense that's hot, it's playing really well, and also has three good matchups in a row. That's what makes Miami unique, and which makes it a rare, you know, defense bench stash during their bye week. So
totally worth it. Something we would never do in week one or week five or week 10, but something you can absolutely do at this time of year if you are headed to the playoffs. So that's where we point both Jack for this week, week 13, and Steve for the playoffs. Go ahead and take a look at those Miami Dolphins. That will do it, you guys, for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you to the beat writers who were with us earlier in the show. And thanks, as always, to TAFFP stalwart Brandon Funston. The two of us plus Jake Seeley back with you on Thursday to take a look at Week 13 rankings. This show returns on Wednesday when Nando DeFino, Chris Vaccaro, and Brandon Marianne Lee take over the feed. For everyone who has participated on this episode, I am Michael Beller. Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you soon. See you later.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.